Welcome, everyone. Glad that you can join us. We're still in a disheveled state here, but we'll get there. Thank you online for joining us. Shall we start with a hymn?
Yes.
Number one.
Number one.
I think that's the bottom one, isn't it?
Yeah, middle one.
Yeah.
I'll put it down faster.
Oh, might be a bit too good.
You gonna do number one?
I'm not sure, but what did you say? All 6 1.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. Oh, He who here now to His temple draw near, join ye in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who so wondrously reigneth, shieldeth thee under His wings, yet so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires have been granted in what He ordained? Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Honor anew what the Almighty can do, if with His love He befriend thee.
Welcome, Bright. Welcome, Megan. Welcome, Dave. And Richard. Did I hear 461?
That was, yeah, it was that from the beginning. I just heard one.
Oh, well, we did number one too. It's good. It's a lovely hymn. 461. Welcome, Sharon. Glad that you can join us. Be still, my soul. The cross of grief or pain, leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy hand. Thorny ways leads to a joyful end.
Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. I hope thy confidence let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. And disappointment's grief and fear are gone, sorrows for God, love's purest joy is restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed we shall meet at last.
Isn't it going to be a wonderful day? All the sorrows are past. We're in the heavenly city. No more tiredness, no more sorrow. One more.
Do we know 5:10?
5:10. Do we know it?
Four.
If you but trust in God to guide you.
He said you are here.
Find out. Behind you and place your confidence in him. Thanks, Molly.
If you but trust in God to guide you and place your confidence in him, you'll find him always there beside you to give you hope and strength within. For those who trust God's changeless love, build on the rock that will not move. What gain is there in futile weeping, in helpless anger and distress, if you are in his care and keeping, in sorrow will he love you less. He who took for you a cross will bring you safe through every loss. In patient trust await his leisure, in cheerful hope with heart content, to take whatever Father's pleasure and all discerning love have sent. Doubt not your inmost wants are known to him who chose you for his own.
Last verse.
Sing, pray, and keep his ways unswerving of were your service faithfully, and trust his word, though undeserving, you'll find his promise true to me. God never will forsake in me the soul that trusts in him indeed.
Isn't that a beautiful song? Thank you, Slava.
Very Jewish sounding.
Yeah. A lot of depth.
Beautiful.
Heart moving.
It is very beautiful.
Very nice. Well, thank you, Mum. A wonderful blessing. Well, it's been a very full day, hasn't it? Full of blessing, we're all overflowing with joy and. Sorry? It has been, hasn't it? But particularly today, you can really feel the extra portion of the Spirit. So, we're going to have a prayer. And then we have a little activity to do. I want to share a few words. Yeah, good idea, Pete. Turn it off. and then we're going to have a little time of blessing for those who would like to come forward and have a special time of prayer. So for those who can, let's kneel. Father, we thank you for the blessedness of this day. We thank you for the Sabbath during the feast. It's always a very high time. We thank you for those that went forward in baptism. And we pray now that you would guide us, you would bless us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This week we've really been blessed by the presence of Rowan, Imelda and their family, haven't we?
Amen.
Thank you for coming to be with us. And we believe it's by divine appointment that a number of the elders independently were impressed that we should ask Rowan to serve with us as one of the elders of our movement. And Rowan has talked to his family and obviously prayed to his father and has come back in the affirmative that he is willing to serve in that capacity, for which we are very delighted. So I'd like to invite the elders to come down and we will kneel together and we'd like to have a special prayer. And maybe we bring the whole family. Imelda, would you like to come? And she's like, we'd like to pray for the whole family. So if we get all fit down here, I don't know if we can.
We'll make
it fit, won't we, Craig? at least husband and wife. It's all good. And youngest daughter.
Okay, we need the camera around, do we?
Can I swing the camera around? Oh, thank you, Liam.
All right.
We good? Our dear Father in heaven, we thank you that we can kneel before you as your children. We thank you that by your Spirit that you have laid it upon our hearts to recognize the gifting in our brother Rowan. And we pray a special blessing for him and for Imelda and the children, that you would watch over them, especially as they complete their transition from South Australia to Queensland, that everything will go smoothly. And we pray for a special portion of your spirit to bless them as Rowan joins us in the capacity of elder, and that you would bless him and his gifts. We thank you for the gifts you have given him. We thank you for the wisdom you have instilled in him, and we look forward to him sharing those gifts with us and with this congregation here and around the world. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's wonderful when the Spirit of Jesus works in this way, that when I raised this with Craig and he said, I was thinking this, and I was thinking this, we're all thinking the same thing. So that's evidence of the working of the Spirit. So we know the Lord will bless you, Rowan,
thank you.
And your family. And thank you for coming and joining us. And we look forward to more of your teaching style presentations as you instruct the saints. It will be a tremendous blessing. So I just wanted to share a few words, and I know that what we shared today about the blood of Jesus and what the sacrifice of Christ really is, I think we're all cognizant of the fact that this is huge. This is really, really massive. And the awareness of this truth, of the true blood of Jesus as the delight of being the Son of God through the Spirit, being drunk by his children and therefore cleansing us of all sin because we've accepted our sonship and daughtership, that God is going to bring this message to the world through us and by whatever means necessary. But the message now is in the world. It is in books. It is in sermons, and it is beginning to be preached, and a consciousness within humanity is beginning of what the real gospel is. When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then the end shall come. And there's been this great mystery as to why the pioneers who first preached about the cleansing of the sanctuary, why has it taken so long for God to cleanse the sanctuary in heaven? Well, there's one really good reason, and I'd like to actually show you. I've talked about this in my latest book, but I want to show you something to explain to you in a very simple way why the cleansing of the sanctuary has not been able to be completed. And it relates to the first angel's message where it says the hour of his judgment is come. And as we have been taught, many of us in Adventism, we understood that it was the hour in which God judges us. But as Daniel 7, and I think, yes, if I go to there, that's the one I need. So if we go to Daniel 8, and we look at verse 14, the word cleansed, there we go. Brown Driver and Briggs. So I guess that doesn't... the word cleansed there, if I go to, yeah, there we go. We'll go to tense voice and mood. How's that? You're all going, what? All right, so I need to go to here, and then we will go to here. That's what we need. There we go. So this verb form, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. What verb form is it? Niphel. Now, for those of you who don't know, which will be many of you, niphel is a passive verb form. So when it says, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed passively, what does that tell you about the judgment? God's not doing it. God's not throwing people out. God's not actively doing anything. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And in the passive form, the word is to vindicate. Then shall the sanctuary be vindicated. How is God's sanctuary vindicated? His character is, it's a vindication where the saints of God judge God to be non-violent. And when we judge God to be non-violent, as we judge, so we shall be judged. As you judge, you will receive. Be not mocked, as a man sows, so shall he reap. So why is it that the sanctuary has not been able to be cleansed? Because the Christian church believes that the physically shed blood of Jesus is something that God requires, and therefore we plead the blood, and the blood goes into the sanctuary. Is that right? And therefore we are shielded from the wrath of God. This is what we've been taught. But this very doctrine is polluting the sanctuary. It is a pollution of God's character. In order for God's character to be vindicated, we as his children need to come to the realization of what his character is. And as it turns out, that when we drink the true blood of Jesus, which is his sonship, we no longer need to strike the rock, but we can speak to the rock and say, our Father. It's music to our Father's ears when we say, dear Father, beloved Father, and there is no more need for sacrifice. Go learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And here we see the mystery of the cleansing of the sanctuary is resolved. And it was there all along. Because I had a picture of God turning the pages of the ledger, saying, you're in, you're out. You're in, you're out. You're in, you're out. And each page that turns is like the pounding of the pavement. It's coming towards you. The pages, your name is in there, and the page is coming towards you. Have you ever freaked yourself out reading Facing Life's Record in Great Controversy? Sorry?
Used to.
Used to be quite frightening, didn't it? If you took it at face value, if you took it seriously, this was quite frightening. Because God is actively, but all along in the Hebrew, it's passive. God is not doing anything to actively, arbitrarily to force anyone in any direction. He is hoping, yearning that his children will come to understand the truth of his character. And we are without excuse because his son revealed the truth of his father's character 2,000 years ago. We have everything we need to cleanse the sanctuary, to know what his character is really like. And this gives me tremendous joy to finally comprehend the meaning of the cleansing of the sanctuary. It really does mean no more need for bringing blood into the sanctuary. Because blood pollutes, physical blood pollutes, spiritual blood cleanses. Physical blood, as in the thought that God demands death for sin, actually pollutes the sanctuary. The belief, as we shared this morning, that in Christ, taking our fallen nature and receiving in his body the blessing of the Father, has reunited us to heaven, and the atonement is complete, a new and living way. And this opens the cleansing of the sanctuary. And this, and I've said this before, and I know that it shocked some people, because we now believe that God is not a killer. We now believe that God judges us as we judge him. It's ultimately our judgment of him that decides our judgment of ourselves. And that we now judge that God is no longer a killer. We no longer worship a God of the dead, but a God of the living. That means that the judgment of the living has now commenced. Did you get that?
Say that again. Repetition.
God, the God we serve, is not a God of the dead, is he? Because he does not destroy. He does not kill. He is a God of the living. And when we believe that God is not a destroyer, and by beholding we become changed, we have everlasting life, don't we? And therefore we are living. And what is the judgment of the living? That God is not a destroyer. We have decided from our reading of the scripture and the testimony of Jesus Christ, we have received the witness of Jesus Christ as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We have received his witness that he is the full revelation of the Father. We set our judgment on the side, on his side. And therefore, we passed from death to life. Amen. Now we are living. So now we are in the judgment of the living. Do you understand the implications of this? Another thought. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. What gospel? This gospel. And what is this gospel? Ellen White defines what this gospel is in Education, page 263. The gospel of the ever-present cross, the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Daily Christ suffers the agonies of crucifixion in order to give us his life blood. It's all part of the one gospel, that we are his beloved children. And then it says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination that makes desolate stand in the whole place, holy place, let him who readeth understand. And then what does it say? You want to read it? Matthew 24, verse 16. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. What now do we understand is the abomination that makes desolate? Penal substitution manifested in false justice, because Satan has said every sin must meet its punishment, urged Satan. This is the abomination that makes desolate. This is the doctrine that requires the shedding of physical blood, which pollutes the sanctuary through the doctrine of penal substitution. We now can see that this is an abomination that makes desolate. Okay? Can you see it? Well, if you can see it, what's the next verse say? And let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains.
We've got one mountain
here. We've got a few in Gippy.
I spoke about this 12 months ago. I said the same thing 12 months ago. I was just editing the manuscript. We can see the abomination that makes desolate in principle. We can see the invisible. The visible will soon manifest itself. And of course, it's speaking specifically of the visible, when the visible manifests itself. But we have advanced warning. There is a group of people now on the earth who can see the abomination that makes desolate. And if you can see it, soon will need to flee. Does that make sense?
Can't be on flat ground, you say.
Convenient ground.
But him, which is on the housetop, not come down to take anything out of his house. Obviously, we're getting to the point where there is a visible. And the equivalent of the abomination that makes desolate, spoken of, what does Luke say? When you see the Roman armies surrounding Jerusalem, time to flee. That's a visible manifestation of the abomination that makes desolate. Because it also believed in the principle of paganism of appeasement-based sacrifice of the gods. This is the principle that is being talked about here. And so what I'm saying to you is if you and I can see this, this is a startling turn of events in human history. The fact that we can see this, that we can see it laid out in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, we can see the spirit of prophecy, we can see it laid down in the pioneer message, all of this is laid out. In my mind, it's all out in a beautiful sequence. It's completely locked together in a logical sequence that is so beautiful. It just takes my breath away. And the fact that we now can see this means that soon the visible form of the abomination that makes desolate, the appeasement-based sacrifice system, is going to manifest itself very soon. So if we have advanced warning, we have advanced warning, don't we? And therefore, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Flee into a more remote place. Not that we are thinking purely for our own selves, but for some of us, we need to go and prepare the way for others who are working in the cities and doing those types of things. But we need to think about this. About this point.
Isn't it interesting that, you know, at this point where this can be seen, in Israel, there are plans to reestablish
the sacrificial system, in Jerusalem.
Not just that, with the support of a large section of the Christian community.
Which is astounding, isn't it?
It's amazing.
That the Christian community would support the sacrifice of animals,
which is legalism, according to them.
Yes. Debbie.
Especially when they hate people who keep the Sabbath and the feast.
Hello. And the commandments.
It's a conundrum, isn't it?
It is. Because the Old Testament's supposed to be done away.
Yeah.
Apparently. But the Christians need to help the Jews fulfill their destiny. That's how they reason.
And Rome, by extension, is, I guess, the existing European nations, which are now gathering and preparing themselves to support Israel in their skirmishes.
It's not really Israel.
Which would be preparing the way for this temple.
Yes.
So it leads. It's getting ready to surround.
It leads to some very interesting thought processes, doesn't it, as to what that could be? Tony's.
So that means that. Obviously, the Jews don't believe that the Messiah has come back. So now we have, you know, a false Messiah on the way, and that's going to cause a lot of...
Lots of interesting decoys are about to take place, aren't they? But they don't know what the abomination that makes desolate is. But we are now in a position for the sanctuary to be cleansed. And so I repeat the statement, for those who believe this and understand this to be a completion of the 1888 message, you have entered the judgment of the living. That phrase, the judgment of the living, used to terrify me. How will I measure up? How will I stand? How will I stand on that great day? Will I be found before him wanting? Or with all my sins washed away? This is how I used to understand this. And
there's even discussion, has your name been judged yet or not?
Yes.
Yeah, I hear that discussion.
But always remember, Daniel 8:14, the verb is passive. And as Ellen White confirms in Testimonies Volume 4, it says, the great judge sits upon the throne and does not say a word. And then it says they are self-condemned without one word being uttered. passive. It's not active. Because as they have perceived God to be a condemning, destroying judge, so they receive in themselves. In the eyes of God, instead of like Noah finding grace in the eyes of the Lord, they see fire, brimstone, and death. That's what they see in the eyes of the Lord, and that's what they receive.
Yeah.
So this message is come exactly when it's needed. But the kings of the earth can do nothing until the abomination that makes desolate, spoken of, standing in the holy place. There needed to be a group of people who could see what this was and know what it was and be able to identify it. The reality is that God's remnant church has no power to identify the abomination that makes desolate. Does it? Impossible. It's rejected the 1888 message, which was the only way, the only pathway to understand exactly what the abomination that makes desolate is, has been shut. And therefore, for those people, probation may come and go and be closed without them even knowing what has happened. Falling all around them during our Father's feast day.
Yes.
It's a conundrum, isn't it? It's really, really sad. So,
and those planned, they'll seek to cast you out of the synagogue and think they're killing you and doing God a service.
Yes, because they worship a god of death.
But what synagogue when we don't go in there?
Sorry?
What synagogue when we don't go in there, you know?
Well,
yeah. So,
but there's a remnant that are there, Dave, which haven't yet emerged, but they are there.
Okay.
And because we now, with our minds, can see the principle of the doctrine of the abomination of desolation that makes desolate. It is in the invisible, and because we now can see it, soon it will come to life and become visible again. It has been visible in the past, and it will be visible again. And the way that it will manifest itself is that a group of people will be selected to be destroyed who refuse to go along with the New World Order. That's how the abomination of desolate manifests itself, desolation method. It's a penal substitution. These people who refuse to worship the Trinity, refuse to keep Sunday, refuse to keep our feast days, these people must die. They are causing climate change and all kinds of problems. So we need to get rid of them. And so we have some very interesting days ahead of us. So let us soak up the remaining rays of the Spirit. We've now entered into the final day, which is Holy Convocation. This is a very special day now for the next 24 hours. So let's soak up as much of this Spirit as we can and have our minds alert and say, Father, am I in the judgment of the living? How do I qualify to be in the judgment of the living? To no longer worship a God of death and to judge him to be, to have him vindicated of the lies that he is a destroyer and he demands blood. When his son says, go learn what this means, I will have mercy. Not sacrifice. My Father does not desire sacrifice. And we vindicate him of this abomination, and then we have entered the judgment of the living. Now the judgment of the living is something exciting. It's something beautiful. It's good news, isn't it? The judgment of the living is good news. Come into the judgment of the living. Receive the truth of the character of God, that he is a tender Father, and that we now have had revealed to us a new and living way to the Father, and that is through his Son. The Son has joined his divinity to our humanity. And I love this because it says, what does it say in, it's in Hebrews 10, isn't it? Hebrews 10, verse 5. It says, verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not. But what? A body hast thou prepared for me. And the thought that struck me is a body to bless, not a body to kill. God did not give his son a body to kill to satisfy his own bloodlust because of the anger that he felt towards the human race. He gave him a human body that in our human flesh, humanity might hear the words of the Father, you are my beloved son in whom I delight, thus slaying the enmity, thus cleansing the sanctuary, opening for us a fountain of life that we may be purified of our wrong understanding of his character, that our sanctuaries may be cleansed. And therefore, once our minds are cleansed of this falsehood, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And there will be 144,000 who say, my Father does not shed blood. We are right there in that place. Tony.
That body is also us, isn't it?
Yes, thank you. Yes. I just thought the same thing. I just had that just come to me as well.
I'm asking the question.
I just saw
thank you for asking the question. Christ is the source. We are in Christ. We are part of his mystical body. So, but Christ had to be blessed first. Christ is the head and we are his body. So that, yes, he dwells in us. But he can only dwell in us if we believe in him. We must believe he is begotten, that he is not a destroyer. He's not one in three. He's simply the Son, the only begotten Son of God. To receive that Spirit, you must believe this. You must believe on the only name of the only begotten Son of God. So I pray that we will consider carefully the implications of these things. And as we think about these things, as we think about our neighbors, we think about our relatives, we think about our family members, many of them we've tried to share. They're not interested. They don't appear interested. Others are just absorbed in other things. But isn't there now a sense of urgency that we feel? Because soon the abomination that makes desolate is going to manifest. Satan can see there is now a little group of people in this world meeting in different places all around the world who are now awake to his deception. And he's trying to discourage us, to dissuade us, distract us, annoy us, turn us out of the path, keep us busy doing other things. But there is nothing else more important than the presenting of this message to ourselves and to the world. Our God is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. It's beautiful, isn't it? So the body that was blessed, that reconnected us, we are accepted in the beloved, Ephesians 1:6. And by extension, therefore, the blessing that came to him comes to us. And so we want to bring that principle into the visible. So anyone who would like to receive a blessing of the Spirit to go out and share with others, we would invite you to come to the front. And at this point, we will say to our friends online, oh, someone else throwing black balls at me. Wonderful. We'll say to our friends online that God be with you. And we don't have time to worry about the black balls. But don't worry about the black balls. Remember? Don't worry about them. We'll keep moving. So we'll say God bless to those online and we will continue our meeting here. Thank you.